May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever teared up thinking about Jesus? Over Advent, I've encountered a number of different stories that have made me both happy and sad. Jim Simons couldn't make it to the ECW party this year, so I read his story, per custom, which of course was, as usual, heart-rending and heart-touching at the same time, as many of you present here can attest. Then there was that news feature that you may have seen about the boy who passed away in Santa's arms. Most recently, I saw an inspiring video of Christians in Cairo proclaiming their faith out in the streets, hot on the heels of the bombing of the Coptic Cathedral in that city. There's something fragile and precious in each of these stories that captures the sorrowful joy that many of us experience this time of year. Perhaps our tender mortal hearts are exactly why Jesus didn't first come on in on horseback, blazing with the light of heaven, surrounded by cherubim and seraphim with celestial swords drawn, ready to do battle with the forces of evil. Instead, our Savior came in the most obscure, most humble, most precarious of circumstances. God the Son eased into our lives under the radar. Jesus came not wielding the authority of heaven, but embracing the stuff of earth. Emmanuel, God with us. Incarnation, the Word made flesh. Tangible, susceptible, approachable. Of course, if we keep Jesus in Bethlehem, we've missed the full story. We remain in our mixed emotions of joyful melancholy. We're stagnant in our appreciation of why Jesus came. If Muslims can accept the virgin birth of the prophet Isa, who they refer to as Jesus, if agnostics can put up a manger scene in their home without sensing the remotest glimmer that maybe this baby is something more than a great teacher, well, then we've affirmed the paradox of this moment in history. Jesus is truly human. He appears on the scene like any one of us. But underneath the dark and dreamless sleep, beneath the realms of glory where angels wing their flight over all the earth, this baby is more than a man in the making. The lectionary brings Psalm 96 to our attention tonight. Unlike the soft, unassuming birth of a low-income baby, unlucky enough to start life in a barn instead of at a top-notch maternity ward, this psalm is a loud gong heading up the temple procession. God's praise rings out like so many angels hovering over a flock of sheep and some drowsy shepherds. Praise that's so grand it's worthy of a new song, like the one of peace on earth, when everyone else was expecting a song of the vengeance of our Lord over those pesky Roman occupiers. It's a song worthy of the great light shining over those who walked in darkness like the prophet Isaiah's day. It's a song brimming with the news, the good news of salvation that we find in St. Paul's letter to Titus. The Lord is exalted in this psalm as King over all the earth, not just Israel. God sits as the righteous judge over the world in this psalm. The nation's idols, their deities, their worries, their priorities, their self-reliance, their greed and lust for control, well, these are all rendered naught in the presence of the one true God, the living God, the creator and master of all things in heaven and earth. The Lord's holiness radiates with an awe-striking beauty and attraction that puts earthly aesthetics to shame. This God, the centerpiece of Psalm 96, is quite the imposing figure. It's hard to think of a manger as a throne. A baby in the midst of a dirty animal stall and everyday filth as a person worthy of note. A person who later, as the suffering servant, was marred to the point of such ugliness and humiliation, we couldn't imagine either beauty or holiness emanating from him. But that's exactly what we find in Bethlehem. In the midst of oppression, hope has come. In the midst of deep darkness, light. In the midst of rampant sin, forgiveness. In the midst of poverty, heavenly royalty. In the midst of the dirt and decay of everyday human life, beauty and joy. And even in the midst of man's inhumanity of man to man, love himself appears. Because of Jesus, we can rise above our pain, our lack, our bad habits, our mourning, our loneliness. Jesus is appearing in such mean estate as the Trojan horse of heaven into the usurped realms of Satan on earth. Christ's coming this holy night in this most unexpected of ways was not for us to camp out eternally in a manger. In the movie Talladega Nights, the protagonist's family would gather together and say a prayer and say grace every night to the Lord God, baby Jesus. It seemed that they just couldn't get out of that manger. They had a hard time leaving Bethlehem to embrace the Son of God as the King of Kings that he is. But inasmuch as we recall this miracle of God coming to us as a mere human babe, that's not where Jesus is now. Jesus lived the perfect life of obedience that we could never live ourselves. Jesus died the sacrificial death that we could never afford to pay. Jesus rose to a life eternal that we could never experience without him. Jesus ascended to God's right hand to pray for us, even when we lacked the courage or the strength to do it ourselves. Jesus sent his very own Spirit to empower us to live the life of love that we've failed so badly at trying to live. And we look forward to Jesus' return to finish on earth what he has begun in our hearts and in heaven. This solemn evening, many of us have begun in that place of tension that I described at the beginning, caught between sorrow and joy, between the human and the divine, between the promise and the fulfillment. In some ways, that will continue to be the case until Christ comes back. But in other ways, we need no longer camp out in Bethlehem. Just as the shepherds left their sheep to see the amazing goodness of God in their time, Jesus calls us to leave our sorrows, our pains, our loneliness, our sins behind. We don't pray to some mere baby, but to a God-man, who is king over all, over all that is seen and unseen. Jesus is more than a tender babe in a barn, but a rescuer, a master, and a friend who is closer to us even than our own kin. Jesus is God with us. And though the world into which he came had no room for him, I implore you this silent night to make room in your heart for him. For he is in heaven right now, making room for you at his side for eternity. So I invite you, let us prayerfully sing this old hymn, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, and allow Jesus to become for us personally more than a mere baby in a manger.
There is room at my side for thee.